Good afternoon. No, we don't try that. You look too pretty not to respond any better than that. Let's try that again. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As she shared with you, I am substituting for Mr. Lee Bell, who could not be here today. So I'm going to ask her to make sure she tells me in about 5 minutes so I can wrap it up, because I'm thinking it's much longer than what the allocated time for this particular session. Why is this panel starting this session? Before we develop plans to go into community-based public health research, there's a lot of work to be done, because first, we are not on the same page. And the community is important to research, so their voices need to be heard. When we start getting ready to paint a house, we remove the paint, we sand the walls down, we wash, we clean, we do everything to prepare that wall so when you get ready to paint, it's easy. That is what we need for CBPR. All the grants, or most of the grants that we receive, has very little time for preparation and planning. And so most time we start off ill-prepared with not enough time to do the work we have to do. We found out from our work with the Fathers and Sons program, because the traditional work research would be that the researchers would have already have put their paper together, perhaps would have gotten funded, and then they would come to the community to seek our community people to be a partner in there. But the partner would not be an equal partner. They would have come in when everything else is done. We talk about once upon a time. You have perhaps heard a lot about the Community-Based Public Health Initiative, which was the forerunner of CBPR. And that one, that was the first time that they really looked at bringing the community into the fold of public health and making the community the center of research. In the early years, from 1992 to 1996, that is when Kellogg funded the Community-Based Public Health Initiative. And we were in place when CDC came about with the Prevention Research Center's second round, because we had been organized since 1990. They could qualify to apply for, and they did receive the Prevention Research Center's grant. Some of the lessons we learned when the Fathers and Son Project was presented to Flint, Michigan, next one. The timeline was 1990-1992. That was our planning committee, and there was the precursor of the Community-Based Public Health Initiative. And from 1992 to the present, we organized under an umbrella called the Broom Team. Historically, that was a person who had power in our community who really advocated for and pushed for community-based public health. From 1996 to 1998, we had no funds to continue the work that we were doing. And therefore, most organizations that had been in those seven consortia had disbanded. We made a pledge that we were committed to the work and we would stay together as long as it took for us to get money. And how when we got our first money was in 1998. We had to decide how we were going to set up the structure. Next one. with the university having so much power, it's like E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton spoke, everybody listened. So when the university presented a message or something, everybody got quiet, whether we agreed with it or not, because the university had the power, and we acquiesced to that power. We had a community university person, Dr. Issa Chase, whose work I'm really presenting today, develop a concept of how we would make decisions. So what he put in place was, when there was a problem that had to be discussed, or an issue that had to be discussed, each partner went their separate ways to address that issue. When we first started, we had the university, the health department, and 10 community-based organizations. The community did not want to challenge the university and the researchers. So basically, whatever they said went until he developed that concept. And then how we, from that concept, we each had one point of view. And when the three issues came together with the decision that part of the collaborative had made, and then we discussed the issues that we had, we would eliminate or add to the discussion. But we came out with an agreed upon plan as well as new knowledge or new information. And we needed to hear everything that each person had, so we had to set up a procedure and a process so that we could make sure everybody was fully understand. Based on the lessons learned in CBPHI, we were able to formalize the concept for CBPR research projects. The conceptualization allowed us to enter the Fathers and Sons project with a history of working in a collaborative. The first part I'm going to talk about is the Ishche model. Fathers and Sons projects was the core project of the Prevention Research Center. And it started in 1989 to 2004. Okay, go to the next one. Things that you need to know before you begin your research project is, what do we need to do to get on the same page? Because when I first started, I talked about the fact that we are not on the same page. In order to get on the same page, we have to do what we call the CCTE. That stands for your commitment, that stands for communication, trust, and equity. The commitment, it means, has two parts to it. The first, the commitment has to be with yourself. You have to say, I'm going to stay with this project, work through whatever problems we have, because the work is necessary. The second part is to be committed to the project itself. And because if you don't make those two commitments, you got different people every time you go to a meeting. So we need a consistency in the project and the membership. So that's what your commitment meant to yourself and to the project. The second part was communication. We can be talking with each other all day, and you hear what I'm saying, but do we understand each other, and are we saying the same thing? So we had to practice positive and active listening. How we did that was, if I had made a statement that you thought you understood, but you were not sure of, you would say to me, did I understand you to say? And my response would be, yes, that's what I said, or no, that is not what I meant, that's not what I said. Then we would carry on that conversation until we were on the same page. Because if you move with different ideas and misunderstandings, you're not gonna have a successful project. On the T is trust. Once you make this commitment and people see that you've said you're gonna be part of this project and you are there each time the meeting is called, that you work through communications until you all can live with it, you have begun to build trust. Trust is not the easiest thing to come by in a new project when everybody's a stranger. So you got to take time to get to know each other, to understand each other. Once you can, you made the commitment, you have can communicate with each other, then you build trust. And that's when you want all the partners to be equal. You want equity to be across the board. The ISSA model, the collaborative model, had three stages: the dependence, the independence, and interdependence. Nobody just stands alone on its own. Everybody has to start from what they bring to the project. When we came to the project, we thought we were totally independent, didn't need any help, and that we could continue just doing whatever the project called for. That's how we put in the different projects that we, and the different ways that we put the the collaborative together. On the ISSA collaborative model suggested three stages. On the dependence, independence, and interdependence, takes into account that each unit comes to the table with their own agenda. But at some point, all interests overlap, and where it overlaps is the place where each stakeholder agrees that they can live with and have ownership in the project. Next one. During the dependence stage, All the parties assume they have become a single group because they have agreed to work together. Often during this stage, the researchers become the dominant force. The three independent stages of researchers, the health department, and the community. This is how we came into a collaborative. We had public health research that we were dealing with, and then you had the researchers and the health department with equal legs. And you can see where the university or the community was. So all the power was there. How do we resolve that problem? As I indicated earlier, those two legs were equal. They had institutions, they had the power. And we had 10 community-based organizations around the table with 10 different perspectives. So how we resolved that issue was we organized the communities in what we now call the community-based organization partners so that we had one voice and could continue to build on the CBPHR. The historical background, I've given a lot of attention to that previously, but each of those 10 organizations still had their mission from which they organized themselves around. So we had to get a collective idea and join to deal with the research that we were about to work on. So that's how we came to that one group. And you may have heard about NCBONE, because once we had a collective on the local level, we went for the national. So you'll hear more about the National Community-Based Organization Network, which is NCBONE. In doing this research, you have to understand what each partner wants out of the project. What's the expected outcome for their organization? Because each organization has something they need to do with it. The community wanted to make sure there's no harm was done to their community. From our historical perspective, so much harm had been done, we didn't even trust the word research. And we're still working on trusting the word research, because people think that just because you give some information that it's going to be accepted. But we have reasons not to do that. The health department wants to know how it can affect the largest community. How can they help so many people? Because they are responsible for the health of the community. And the researchers are prone to develop projects and invite communities after they have decided what they want to work on. So a process on how the group would think about the project is different based on their historical background as well as their organization mission. This actual presentation is a lot longer than what we're going to have today, so I'm going to wrap up quickly in 5 minutes, so you may see some slides moving a little bit faster. One slide I really want you to see how the after the partners independently express their own goals. Maybe you can move toward that. It's three circles. Okay. And then push it back together. No, go to the next one. You perhaps can get the next one. What I'm trying to say, these three are the independent ones I talked to. Somewhere on this slide, we can put it together, they're going to overlap. And in that middle part, that is when we'll be able to, there we go. That's what we're trying to get that partner we want to come together on. And that way we know we are partners, we're on the same line, we understand each other, and we are working collectively together. Now we go to the next. So plan A was when the university came in. They already had their plan completely together. They knew what it was going to do. We said, nope. We had to come up with a plan B. The plan B actually works. It is still working. We're still improving it. But each partner has a stake in what happens as a result of the work put into the partnership. After we feel we can live with this, then we can all take ownership of the project. When each partner has ownership, then we have arrived at the process for change and equity within the partnership. Once we got that together, we were heading one way. We had to make changes. So we got to that exit, we detoured, put this package together, and we're still working on that package. No minutes I have. Okay. I've gone through most of it, but the key thing before the intervention is that when you get ready to start a project, you're going to have all different agendas. You have to work to come to a common agenda. You have to take the time to put together one idea that you're going to be working with that everybody can live with. We do not take Robert's Rules of Order. We don't exactly do census, but we all have to live with the project that we want to work with. Thank you.